Sonor.
On air.
How does it feel to be interviewed for once instead of being the one asking the questions?
Oh, I find it always a little bit stressful though, but I think it's really important to do it sometimes. I teach at a conservatoire in Antwerp, and I sometimes do the exercises together with my students. And I always realize, oh my God, what do I ask of people sometimes? So it's really good to be in the other position sometimes.
So do you enjoy it at all, or do you just...
Yeah, I enjoy it. Okay. Yeah. And I think it's really important to keep doing it, even as an exercise sometimes.
You talk a lot of people and use their answers to create a bigger story together with Ines Sound Design.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of relationships between everyone involved does that create, and how important are the atmospheric sounds that are like in between the spoken bits?
Like between the music parts.
Right, and you mean the relationships that I have with the co-creators?
Yeah, and also sort of how does maybe Inne relate to the people you talk to? How does
she
sort of get inspiration or deduce what sounds to use?
Yeah, absolutely. So we did actually two performances where Inne was quite often, maybe not always in the same room, but always like in the environment. So we divided the work. Well, not really divided, like Inna was kind of doing field recordings or zooming into details while I was interviewing people. And so we have this, because we know each other for such a long time, we know what the other is searching for, and we also give, I think it's really important to give each other space. So I always think, and it's especially for these performances, so it's not necessarily for podcasting. But in these performances, like Inne is in charge of the sound and the music, and I am in charge for the for the words and the, let's say, the words that come from interviews. And we are two artists next to each other who communicate. So it's not that word is king or something in that situation. If I'm working for podcasts, that is a little bit different sometimes, because in podcasting, I mean, if you talk really about like a more traditional storytelling narrative podcast, like the voices of the people and the voice of the narrator can be, well, plays the first violin, let's say it that way, and then the sound is much more makes a really beautiful bed for the words to lie into, and it's a little bit different, right? But also that is, I really, for me, the music of Inna also tells me a lot about what the atmosphere is, not only what the words are, but also how did the space feel where we did the interview, for example. And I try to make room for that, especially when I'm working with Inna. I work with other musicians as well, and sometimes that is a little bit more, I wouldn't say illustrative, but where then okay, word is king, I make my thing, and then I look for a musician who can like accompany me. And with Inna, it's much more co-creation, but in that sense that she's in charge of, like, she's chef music, I'm chef words, and where do we find each other?
So you just talked about like a lot of things you're looking for, and I feel like as a person who interviews people to make art, to make, I don't know, podcast or something, you're always kind of like, you have a sort of idea in your head which you would kind of like to find in your answers, and you talk a lot about ethical documentary making and stuff, so sort of, I don't know, like trying to keep some sort of bias out of your questions. How do you do that, or do you think that's even possible, because you're always
good question
for things.
I was very lucky to work with a little team on, for example, I did a podcast, it's called The Voices, The Stemmen. And you had like different voices per episode who would talk like very associatively. So you had like really life stories or like anecdotes of people. And I was really lucky to work with a little research team. So somebody would call the people up before, and so they would know what I would, like that I would go there and ask them about, for example, their love story or so people were prepared what I was there for, but then of course you know that you're going to look for certain things.
So actually you get into this kind of concentration together with this person. If they are actually a little bit prepared, you can prepare them yourself, or you can work with a little team where somebody else calls them up and explains what is happening. But so I think that is really important. So, and I don't feel that I ever like trick people into doing stuff. But of course you have this. Of course you have a structure in your head, and that is okay. But structure, I think, is something different than certain answers.
It probably also depends on what sort of work you're trying to do, right? Like if you're more focusing on sort of an art aspect of your work instead of actually trying to make an informative piece.
Right, but I also think that that was a thing that I really liked about Martin Buber's philosophy is as well, like an encounter doesn't have to be pleasant. It can be unpleasant as well, and that's also fine. And I also think like also in interviewing people, maybe people are totally allowed to be annoyed with you. Why not? You can be annoyed with them as well. I mean, you shouldn't bully them like a kind of a TV, you know, like this reality TV people or something. You shouldn't do that. But that's maybe an interesting thing that I learned is like emotions can have all kinds of, I mean, you don't have to have one tone in an interview. It can be bothered, it can be angry. But ideally the anger is not directed towards you and the fact that you're interviewed. Then there is something wrong, I guess.
What I also would have asked myself is it difficult for you to like approach these people that you interview? Like, I mean, with your grandmother, I would say that's easier because you know her, but like strangers, how difficult is that for you? Because if I think about myself right now as well, currently,
I found it in the beginning, I found it more difficult to interview my family than strangers, because for strangers you have a script. You say like, oh, I'm working on this podcast, or I'm working on this performance, and I'm actually really interested to come and interview you about this. And of course you have to reestablish that whole relationship. But with your family, I felt super self-conscious when recording, because they're not used to you being in that role. While if you decide for yourself, okay, I'm in this role and it's the first time that people see me, they see me in this role, these are the expectations. I found that a little bit more interesting. But of course it's always a little bit, you have to like be brave and ask like, can I talk to you about this super traumatizing thing that maybe happened to you? Of course that's a leap of faith, but there is a script for that.
And how did you sort of find your niche for this now with the interviews as well? Why don't you just talk about your own experiences? What fascinates you about the experience of others?
I just don't think that I have all the answers. I really like talking to people. I can be really, really moved by people sharing things with me and like helping me understand things. And not necessarily about my stuff, but just that they share something with me. I find that incredibly beautiful and moving and human, and I'm just very, very happy about, you know, the generosity of people sometimes, and they bring me to places that I cannot come up with myself. And I think it's just a general like interest in people. I would say curiosity towards other worlds and ways of life. Because I sometimes feel very stuck into my own world, and then all of a sudden this whole other world is like, or other like philosophy on life is like, is given as a gift to you, and I just really love that. I mean, sometimes I just feel very stuck in my own head.
I feel like being an interviewer puts you in a very interesting space as a listener to people, but also as the person who is then going to be, in a way, listened to, because you are going to select what answers you're going to use in your work. So how, what would you, like this very interesting space in between people getting asked things and people receiving those answers. How do you perceive yourself in that space? How do you, and how far do you perceive yourself as a listener, as well as the one then being listened to?
Really good question, yeah. So I think that I'm, in the first place, you are a listener, but you are also reacting. So I wouldn't say that I'm this everyman that reacts. I don't, that's I think that's a little bit fake. But I think it's also really interesting then for the audience to listen how I reacted to certain things. And I used to be like very, very self-aware of this and like almost staging certain reactions. I don't think it's a really bad thing, as long as you're genuine, but you're always, there's always this third party present in an interview. That's just always the thing. There is a performative aspect in interviewing, and it's known. It's not the person who you interview knows it, you know it. So it doesn't necessarily have to be bad. It's like we are talking now as well. I don't think I'm a different person, but I'm also very aware that I structure my thoughts a little bit. That you put a little bit of timing in your answers. So I don't think it's disingenuous, but it's like this heightened, what would be the word for that? This heightened presence, I guess. So I don't know if that answers your question. And then of course you have this filter of structuring, and then you are a narrator, yeah, right? And you have this, so you have these two stages. You have this presence in the tape, and then you have this presence in the narration, in your presence on stage. And of course that is also something you can play with, right? And then you play with the expectation of an audience, with timing. You also take the listener on a journey then. And I find it really interesting. And I for a long time I was like, it's all unethical. And then I also thought like, it is just, you know, thousands of years of storytelling tradition, so chill.
Yeah,
something like it's not, stories are not unethical. People like to tell stories. I mean, it's just important, just don't be a dick.
True. Yeah,
I think that's maybe the basic thing about it. It's just be a person, don't be a dick, and be considerate. And I think that takes you a really long way, right? Don't be self-righteous, don't enrich yourself on the back of other people. I think be very straightforward what it is about, what your intentions are, and I think, and then you can also just talk about, and I also don't think people mind you talking about the dynamics of interviews either.
It might actually make it more comfortable to kind of address those dynamics,
right?
And actually talk about them.
I think so. I mean, I'm not a therapist. I don't pretend to be, but there is this. There is this empowerment of telling a story in a very structured way if you are interviewed about something. And yeah, there is this concentration, and actually people can really enjoy that as well. And I think you can also have this wonder of like, oh yeah, you heard this in my story. And it's actually another perspective on my story that is different, and it is also empowering. To hear it in this maybe polished way or like associative way. And I did some quite experimental things with audio before, and actually I've never had people being really negative about it, if you are not a dick.
I feel like you're probably not the only one to like think about interviewing in such a way, like just don't be a dick, don't treat people badly, try to connect in a way with the person you're talking to. But I also feel like nowadays a lot of like news stuff is very much focused on getting the most attention you could possibly get and making sort of clickbaity stories, and that oftentimes hurts people along the way. So how does your sort of practice of asking questions, of talking to people, get reacted to by peers in maybe sound art, but also like
in more commercial podcasting, for example, true crime
things. If you
things.
Have gotten any reactions at all.
Yeah. I know how it works. I worked in radio for some time. I actually did this pilot for this pretty big podcasting company. And I just felt like, it's fine. I think you can, within the boundaries of, for example, true crime and stuff, you actually can really be very careful and mindful. I think there are really good examples of that, where you have really proper consent and everything. But it is really, like, you have to be very self-aware and be sure of your own values, because men, they really can pull you along and be like, and bullshit you around of like, yeah, it's gonna be like, it's going to go to Hollywood, literally, and stuff like that. And then he was like, yeah, whatever. But I really think there is power in telling a story in the proper way. You will find your audience, and don't get yourself be pulled into, like, gory commercialized editing. Yeah, just be really, really aware of that. And I think if you are, like, aware of that, then I think there are really, like, margins to where you can work in. And I have to say that I haven't had any, like, really bad reactions. I also know that people who are, I know a lot of people are not interested in my work, because they say, this is not linear, and this is really weird, what is this music doing there, and stuff like that. So, yeah, and I mean, it's also okay. I also learned to, I'm just also just sometimes really happy that people took the effort to listen, and it's totally fine if they don't like it. Just don't make yourself insecure. Just think like, okay, it's not their cup of tea. Do I like it? Or can I, like, change maybe some things? What I did learn is, don't be afraid of linearity. I really, like, veered off the path. And now I'm thinking, like, you know, there is this thing, like, a story that can be told in stages. The only issue, I think, where you have to be careful is that don't let the structure influence the story. If the story has a certain structure, respect, like, the internal movement of the story. Don't try to break it up artificially, because then you come in this kind of, is it the author who wants the story to be told like that, or is it the story? Like, is it the story on the foreground, or is it the author? And then these are, like, this really interesting.
You've talked a lot about stuff you've learned. You said you kind of learned to approach your interviewees a bit differently, and sort of, like, you sort of learn to anticipate how you might get treated. What other stuff, is there anything else you've learned over the years? Because I think you've been working in this field for quite some time now.
Yeah, you can always be surprised by people. Just be yourself. Is this also, like, the self, is this well, but you don't know, like, that's a weird thing. But I try not to be someone else. I try not to be tougher. I don't try not to be more smiley than I am. I am this smiley person, okay? I will be friendly. So that is who I am. So that's also fine. Don't judge yourself for that either. I think that is okay. Just don't try to be someone else, or don't try to take up this artificial role. I mean, it's okay to try out a different, like, some different roles, like, you know, like, you try on different coats before you find yourself. I think that's fine. But just don't be afraid of being yourself.